Good evening. Welcome to the Solera Report. Today is February 13th, 2020. This is Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this week. I'm in the Netherlands, up in Friesland on the IJsselmeer. It's been stormy this week. Lots of wind and rains from the North Sea, and plenty of oxygen. On the website, each week we put up our new poster for my 21-2020 campaign, all about the missing money. You can see all of them at missingmoney.solera.com under the campaign button, but we always have one up on the homepage. This week, it's the Board of Trustees of the Ohio Public Employees Pension Fund. They cut healthcare, so they didn't have money. So we asked the question, well, why are you financing treasuries? Why not get the $21 trillion back, or you're sure of the $21 trillion? And so we're going to keep bringing up this money because we're financing all the things we don't want. And so whether it's our interaction with governments, with banks, companies, real change is going to come when we start to re-engineer the cash flows, and that starts with connecting the dots. So if you have ideas for the posters, keep sending them in, and we're getting some great suggestions. Events. I'll be doing a workshop with Thomas Meyer on deep state tactics on March 21st in Basel, Switzerland. Then we just announced 3 Teas with Catherine. It's a great way to meet the other people in your area. That's why we do it. Saturday, June 6th, we'll be in Montreal. Then June 13th, the following Saturday, in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. And then the following Saturday in one of my favorites, Amarillo, Texas, June 20th. I want to give a big shout out to the subscribers who've helped us identify locations. It's made a big difference, and we really appreciate it. We posted a new brochure for the Lake Constance Hang. It's on the Hang website. It's an incredible gathering. Solera All-Star Team, Ulrich Groniger, Jason Bowden-Smith, Thomas Meyer, Nina Hein from Food for the Soul, Bridget Mouchet from Wellness, and then Robert Duper, who does all of our videos, most of our audios, and Carolyn Betts. You heard my attorney on Deep State Tactics Part 5. She's coming as well. This is limited to 20 subscribers, and the focus is on understanding biophysics. So you can learn more at the Lake Constance Hang website. You can just link to it from the homepage and check out the new brochure. If you want us to mail you a brochure, just let us know at hang2020@solera.com or customerservice@solera.com or ask Catherine. Any is fine. Wrap-ups. Will ESG turn the red button green? That if you're a digital plus print subscriber, you should have the hard magazine copy. If you don't have it by now, please let us know. And then I hope to have State of Our Currency to the printer this month, and it will be out to you in March. It's a very important discussion, as is the ESG. ESG is being weaponized. You need to know about this, and of course, the State of Our Currencies is beyond important. It touches everything. Our theme tonight is inspired by one of my favorite expressions from scripture, guard your heart, for from it comes the wellsprings of life. The coronavirus had me looking at the global death statistics again, and by a mile, the greatest cause of death globally is heart disease. The way I say it is the world is dying of a broken heart. And tomorrow is Valentine's Day, so it's a perfect day to tell the people you love how grateful you are for their presence in your life. Check out our little commentary to celebrate Valentine's Day on the website. It has one of my favorite renditions of My Funny Valentine. One of the best things for anybody's heart is laughter. And our blast from the past this week is one of my favorite routines from Bill Cosby, the chicken heart that ate up New York City. And it's really about fear porn and why it can be so entertaining and distracting and even dangerous. If you haven't removed fear porn from your life, definitely listen to the chicken heart that ate up New York City. It can help you do that, because deleting fear porn from your life is a big time saver. And it is very important right now to use your time and invest your time very, very well. You need to use your time to become more personally resilient. How you do that, everybody's different. But I've never met anybody who didn't have a list of at least 3 more things they could do to be more personally resilient. The risks in the global environment are going to continue to rise. And so resiliency, strengthen your immune system and strengthen your sort of financial and economic and physical immune system is very important. There is a battle royale underway to build out and then own and control the control grid, both hardware and software. There's more and more effort to use IT systems and digital systems to control everything physically on the planet. And what this means is when it comes to the Midianite thing, which is the war of factions fighting for ownership and equity, it's only going to get worse. And unfortunately, as I said last week, too many people are moving into win-lose positions vis-a-vis each other, and that means the fights are going to get very, very fractious. They are now. The control grid is the grid that can be used to control the global digital currency and telecommunications, which includes mind control. The way they're going to deal with the absence of trust that will support whatever the digital currencies are is they're just going to use mind control. It's a gold rush to essentially digitize, own, and control our entire electromagnetic reality. All the stories that you're watching, with rare exception, are touch on this. So from the Jedi contract at DoD to new DoD satellite contracts to the Space Force to the Huawei indictments, we had more charges made this week, to Boris Johnson's reshuffling of his cabinet, to the coronavirus and Microsoft's skyrocketing stock, and the war over vaccines. We are watching, in a sense, the largest currency control squabble in the history of at least certainly the last 4,000 years on planet Earth. This war is going to go on for quite some time. It will be fought out in the trenches of where you and I live, in our homes, on our streets, as well as on the global stage. So you don't need to just brace yourself, but you need to pace yourself. Among other things that we're looking at are the potential for major disruptions in supplies of food and essential supplies. So make sure you operate with greater inventories on an ongoing basis and have trustworthy sources of food and essentials. I'm going to keep beating this drum. Yes, biowarfare is a risk, but the reality is that you and I have been dealing with a regular onslaught of biowarfare, low-grade biological warfare, for quite some time. So global spraying comes under the rubric of biowarfare, some of the invisible things going into the food supply, and GMOs I would describe as biological warfare. If you listen to some of the interviews we did on this in the food series, you'll have heard more about this. I would include some of the questionable ingredients in vaccines and other medicines in this category. Your primary biological warfare risk right now is not coronavirus, but the vaccine mandates that may result, or the related quarantines, controls, attacks on free speech or elections that are being justified with it. So don't beware the problem, beware the solution. There are lots you can do to prevent or mitigate the solutions that are harmful to you. Now is the time to do so, big time. I told the story in Deep State Tactics of my encounters with low-grade biological warfare when I was in Washington during the litigation. It's one of the reasons I left, was to get away from it. Targeting people with biological warfare is a long-standing practice, and poisoning. I talked a lot about that on Deep State Tactics as well. Remember the stories of the settlers trading blankets with the Indians, said to be laced with smallpox infection? So this is an old tactic. If you look at the gold rush on the Internet of Things and the race to use it to control, to own, to influence, to manipulate, we're still in the first inning. We have many, many more innings to go. And that's why I say guard your heart, for from it flows the wellsprings of life. My only final comment is, have a happy Valentine's Day. Enjoy it. Money and markets. I'm dealing with the total returns for year to date using the Wednesday close because I'm in Europe. US dollar is now up almost 3% for the year. If you take a look at the US dollar chart that's in the second set of charts in the money and market commentary at the bottom in the links, take a look at that dollar chart. It's too perfect for words. The dollar is going down, 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 down. As of 12/31, whoops, the coronavirus, magically it's going up, up, up. It's too miraculous for words. Then if you look at the chart, and you can see it in the chart that I have at the top of the money and markets commentary, look at the U.S. stock market versus the FXI ETF for the large cap Chinese stock markets, the Chinese stock market is moving ahead of the U.S. stock market coming out of the end of the year, and then whoops, it's a miracle. Suddenly, magical coincidence, and the U.S. market is pulling ahead. So in 12/31, whether it was the U.S. market or the U.S. dollar in particular, it looked like Humpty Dumpty. No one and nothing could put it back together again, and yet there's another miracle. If you, on the chart comparison, I also put some additional stocks. Microsoft, who won the new satellite contract and just at the end of last year won the JEDI contract. I should note that on Thursday, a judge has awarded a stay on work on JEDI as a result of the Amazon protest, so Microsoft traded off a little bit after that. But more on that in a second. If you look at fixed income, the long treasury, it's a miracle, is up 6% for the year. The intermediate is up 2.59%. The bond aggregate up 1.75%. Junk is now up 95 basis points, almost 1%. It's quite remarkable. If you look at the treasury yield curve, it's still very flat. You have about a 1.5% return in the 1 month area, and it goes out on the long end to a little bit over 2%. Powell testified this week saying no expectation of rising interest rates, and then hint hint, hopefully the U.S. government will use that opportunity to reduce deficits and deal with the debt problem. At the same time, the president came out with a new budget with a $1 trillion deficit. David Rosenberg tweeted out, we're all socialists now, which is true, even though there are significant cuts in the Trump budget in the social safety net. And at the same time that you're cutting the social safety net, Pence comes out and confirms that 2.0 tax cuts are coming, so another round of tax cuts planned. There's clearly no plan to address the debt. Unfortunately, I think the miracles occurring around coronavirus may be the plan to deal with the debt. With China dealing with significant drop in economic activity and quarantine, the oil prices dropped significantly. And one of the questions in the fixed income market is what will falling oil prices do to the corporate debt markets? We have a lot of maturities this year in the high yield market that relate to oil and gas. So the high yield bond market definitely has a rough road ahead of it, but if you look at the economic advantages of playing economic warfare with oil producers, the challenges of a high-yield market I don't think are going to pose a big problem because the Fed and Treasury can buy them all up and tear them all up. Problem solved. Thank you, FASB 56. There's no doubt that the FASB 56 has radically increased the ability of the federal financial bazooka to play these games of economic warfare. So turning to the equity markets, the S&P now up 4.83%. As I said, ooh, it's a miracle. It's quite amazing how that happened. Goldman came out early this week that you could feel the fear levels going up about the impact of the coronavirus both on health and markets in the West. And Goldman came out and said, oh, coronavirus impact on markets will be negligible. Reminded me a little bit of Kiplinger's statement when the Ebola scare was going on when the Republicans were trying to win the Senate. And while the shriek-o-meter on every, even the business papers, was shriek, 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 first page, Kiplinger was saying, don't worry, it won't impact your business. And it was quite remarkable. Goldman's statement had a major impact. But I think the message was central banks are going to keep buying whatever they have to keep stocks flying. Now, one of my questions is, do they have a plan for major reshoring? And is that what the new NAFTA agreement passed during the middle of the impeachment is for? It's quite remarkable when you see everybody get together and pass the USMC agreement. You'd think they couldn't get that done. The Fullerton Informer put out a video, which I sent into the blog, and I tweeted it out, where their analysis of the new NAFTA agreement, essentially, so Mexico, Canada, and the United States, is that it backdoors a lot of provisions that were in the Paris Agreement and the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I haven't had a chance to read it, but it would not surprise me if there's a lot in it. And they seem to think that it's going to be open borders, and I would note in the latest round of budgets, Trump is not pushing hard for money for the wall. So if they're going to onshore tremendous amounts back to North America, then they need much tighter cooperation between Mexico, Canada, and the United States. So it wouldn't surprise me if part of this new agreement is to make that return to North America significant. And they certainly need Mexico to do that, and Mexican immigration into the United States to do that. So the question is, could that onshoring boost S&P earnings in a way that the rebalancing with China hurts them? So there's an offset there. The NASDAQ is clearly stronger, whether it's the social credit system in China or the U.S. The IT hardware and software is building the train tracks of the control grid, so it's not surprising that the NASDAQ flies ahead. Control is very good for their business. It's also good. Quarantine is very good for online shopping. Alibaba's fourth quarter profits are skyrocketing. I think it's up 57%. U.S. home builders are clearly flying. They were flying all last year, and it continues strong. And the question is why. U.S. real estate ETF also strong. And I'll talk more in the first quarter wrap-up about the U.S. plans to pump the housing and real estate. They're depending on the millennials to buy homes. Let's see if that happens. But again, massive onshoring and sort of opening up the borders means more household formations one way or another. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Fortress America plan continues to be good for home building. The reality also is, if you're bringing a lot of dollars back and China's sending a lot of dollars back, that money's going to pour into real estate. Where else is it going to go? VGK, the European ETF, up 41 basis points, so it's almost flat for the year. Germany up 1.02, so clearly rebalancing into Europe not happening. The developed markets up 53 basis points. China large caps down 1.74%, the small caps down 20 basis points. The good piece in the Financial Times, the coronavirus outbreak spells trouble for China banks. China was struggling with leverage. Remember, the global economy, the way we kept the global economy going, coming out of the financial crisis, was to lever the emerging markets in China up tremendously. A lot of that debt was in dollars, and so now China's in a dollar bear trap. And that bear trap is going to get much worse as a result of what is happening with the coronavirus, whether it's just the slowdown in manufacturing and sort of economic activity and people being quarantined at what should be one of the busiest times of the year. But in addition, the clear message to lots of companies in the West is maybe you need to shorten your supply line. So I think this is going to be devastating for small business in China. The state-owned enterprises have the power to turtle through, but it's going to be interesting to see how China deals with the debt problems. And there's no doubt many, many people and businesses in the West, there are going to be disruptions in the supply chain. If you haven't read my book review that I did a year and a half ago on China RX, it's one of the scariest books I've ever read. At the time it was written, the U.S. had 3 weeks' supply of antibiotics without more Chinese ingredients. A lot of pharmaceuticals in the U.S. are made with Chinese ingredients. So there's a real question to me what's going to happen if the quarantines continue. Emerging markets down 22 basis points. Again, it's a miracle. All the rebalancing that was planned for international and emerging markets doesn't look like it's happening. More miracles for the U.S. stock market. You know, I have to tell you, from time of 9/11 in 2001 or the Indonesian tsunami in 2004, I have seen an endless series of miracles supporting the strong dollar policy. You know, you hear this chorus of people telling you why it's all going to collapse, and then whoop, it's a miracle. And I've really studied all these different miracles and what might have triggered them. And Saker scoffs at my invisible weapons theories. But if you watch the monies and the markets and the sort of the cash flows, it's the only theory I can come up with to explain the endless series of miracles that protect the dollar, other than the moon is a Death Star and the aliens ordered it, which, you know, is basically the Truman Show. The movie The Truman Show is a true story. So I prefer the invisible weapons theory, but who knows? I think it's really important to understand that the the chorus of the dollar's all going to collapse and the great reset is right around the corner, that whole world, whether they're promoting, you know, sort of their disinfo ops, or they're sincere but just aren't looking at the black budget, you know, there's a deeper story and a very dark covert war going on this planet, and you need to look at that if you're going to sort of see where things go. Commodities down 7.55%, and it looked like commodities were going to have a good year and the dollar a bad year, but whoop, here we are with a miracle. Gold up 3.25%, silver down 2.1%, and the oil now down 20.43%. This is very major pain for Venezuela, Russia, and the OPEC countries, any major oil producer, so Iran too. Russia refused the OPEC proposal to cut production. De-dollarization is primarily being done by oil producers. That means they, with the oil price down like this, they have less money to buy gold. They're the ones that have been the big buyers, particularly the central banks along the Silk Road and, of course, Russia. But gold, I think, is still going to have a good year. Lawlessness inspires broad-based desire for gold. And as you can see, there's no end to the lawlessness in sight. I am beginning to believe that the climate change op is really an effort driven by the need of the currency to switch out of the petrodollar system into control of digital systems and food supplies. And part of it is the de-dollarization effort is being led by the oil producers. And so you want to cut off cash flow into their hands. So if you can, the more you can turn the developed world to electricity, which can be centrally controlled and out of oil, better for the control system and better to manage the transition from the dollar to whatever they use for digital currencies. For all I know, it could be the dollar, but it's going to be a very different system. But I think the leadership is trying to ensure that the general population stops putting money in the oil enemies' pockets. If you look at the right digital infrastructure, so you ditch oil for electricity with renewable or even breakthrough energy. Remember, once you have a total control grid, then you can bring out breakthrough energy. And that's the thing that's really going to skyrocket the real estate profits, particularly in the United States. So the trading in the home builders and real estate may reflect the fact that somebody knows they've got the capacity to do that. Energy. The problem with that grid, it's going to combine energy with digital currencies with mind control on one digitally integrated platform. It's kind of scary. The coronavirus is causing more coverage of China technocracy and social credit system. The control grid is a similar one. It's being rolled out in the West, and it's, again, it's not dissimilar, and it's quite ugly. So increasing numbers of people are feeling and being inconvenienced by that oppressiveness. So if the picture is ugly, I hope it will inspire you to use technology judiciously. One of the reasons I've been placing more stress on the printed magazine that we do quarterly is our concern at Solari that if we're going to keep telling the truth, we may have to depend on non-digital means to do so. And so more magazines and perhaps a live money and markets phone call that you can also record on your end. But increasingly, I think the battle over the control grid is going to be fought out with cybersecurity. So there are going to be plenty of real dangers, but it's also going to be used for asserting the kind of control that we're not used to living with and we don't need to live with and we don't want to live with. So we reject it. Top stories. The top story tonight is the mother of all currency wars, which is what we've been talking about as we go through the markets, but it's the fight over the digital infrastructure, both hardware and software. It's digital systems and telecommunications. This is the platform that will permit digital currencies. And remember, digital currencies that can be accessed and traded quickly and easily at low cost by the entire global population is the ultimate control system. The question, of course, is how do you get the trust to work, and especially when everybody running all the different systems is acting more and more untrustworthy. And I think they think if you integrate sufficient mind control, that's going to make it work. I don't believe it, but I think the leadership clearly thinks it's the best solution. I want to keep pounding the drum. It's important to remember that the winner at AI is the one with the most data. And of course, that's going to be the player who digitizes all living things, including the atmosphere. If you listen to Elena Freeland talk about the space fence, I think that's clearly part of it. If you look at coronavirus and some of the other animal and human epidemics underway, they are likely part of this picture. So let's look at the Wuhan coronavirus. Right now, the latest statistics are we have 62,000 cases, the vast majority of them in China and the vast majority in Asia. We have 1,500 deaths. The transfer is aerobic, so it can spread quickly, up to 24-day incubation, so people can be spreading it when they don't know they are spreading it. And right now it appears that there's a 3 to 5% mortality rate. The Chinese seem to be doing a good job on trying to limit the spread. It's a bit frightening to see their control tactics. I've watched a couple videos of people with coronavirus having convulsions. If those videos are real and authentic, then it certainly is biological warfare. I just don't see it as being a natural virus. The travel restrictions and quarantine methods clearly indicate biological warfare. That's what they look like. The majority of deaths appear to be elderly and people with pre-existing conditions or compromised immune systems. In that vein, it's important to remember China essentially has no pension fund system. If you look at the pension fund wrap-up we did, you can find it at pension.solari.com. China has about $1 trillion of retirement assets to the U.S. $25 trillion. And so, really, they don't begin to have the kind of social safety net that you would need for aging demographics. And they have a very similar demographic bulge to U.S. and Europe. But, you know, despite the U.S. and Europe being much better off in terms of pension fund funding, they continue to be underfunded, and it's a real political problem. So anything that culls out the unhealthy or the elderly is a big budget balancer in the long run. It's not surprising. Once the 1995 budget effort to balance the budget sort of busted up, that's when you saw a lot of the different policies that went in place that I think are bringing down the life expectancy of many groups in the United States. Because the way you balance the budget, if you can't get a financial solution, is you bring down the life expectancy. And I would note that if you look at the cuts that Trump is proposing, it's exactly in that area. So it includes the social safety net and big cuts, it looks like, in both Medicare and Medicaid. A lot of the statements say it's only in Medicaid, but I think if you look at the actual numbers, they're going to be very, very tough in terms of dealing with the healthcare expenses. So I talked about a lot of this when I covered the financial coup d'etat. It was obvious in the 90s that they were moving the money sort of out of the systems where retirees would be able to get their money back. So if you look at how the deep state financed sort of the build out of the multinationals and the whole national security infrastructure, the way they did it was by centralizing retirement savings and have retirees, you know, keep putting their money into all these different investment vehicles. So every year the American people, for example, are putting a dollar in, and they're taking that dollar and using it to finance the national security state. Well, the problem is once the retirees retire, that gives the deep state a $2 problem. One, they need to find the dollar to give it back, but then they need a new dollar the next year. One way to solve that problem is just to fill all the pension funds up with treasury securities for which the pensioners as taxpayers are liable. So it's a way to inspire financial responsibility on the just do it method. And so what I've said for many, many years is, you know, rather than pay for nursing homes, they turned the aircraft carrier so that they could preserve the money for space and then tell you, as the Ohio Public Pension Funds just said, there's no money. There's no money for healthcare. Although the healthcare story is a little bit more complicated because we're running the healthcare system to be dramatically more expensive in the United States than it needs to be. last week I gave the odds of the coronavirus being biological warfare is 80%, and also 80% that it was intentional. So 80% chance it is biological warfare, and then 80% it's basically offensive biological warfare, 20% it's a mistake, you know, something got out of a lab. And I said the major danger was the vaccine. Now here what was interesting, that was on last Thursday night. Then from Friday on, Soleri has been experiencing the worst denial of service attacks we've ever experienced, and it's been constant and ongoing. And all I can tell you is that saying what I said is becoming very expensive. It's always expensive, not just in terms of money, but in morale to have to deal with these kinds of headwinds. Anyway, as I was preparing this Money in Markets, whoa, we had a mysterious problem. Suddenly the website reverted to the website that was existent a week ago. All the current commentaries that we needed for this week's interview with Saker and Money in Markets disappeared. And so if you noticed that or you experienced any slowdown on the site, that's what it was. Now, in my experience, traditionally over the last 10, 15 years, when we get this kind of pushback, in my opinion, it's generally related to big pharma and health issues. And the sort of second reason is media control of the narrative. So both are involved here. But it wouldn't surprise me that my prediction that the thing you need to worry about is the vaccine is going to turn out to be right. So I'm going to change the odds this week. Instead of 80% chance it's biowarfare, I think it's 95% chance it's biowarfare, and I'm going to keep the 80% chance of it being intentional. So I think this is somebody in the West intentionally using biological warfare to put China back in the box. I think that's the likely explanation here, but I could be wrong. It still could be an accident that both the China and the West are taking advantage of, first and foremost to build their control grid. And so we need to even be prepared for a divorce in the payment, financial, and monetary systems. So one of the things that could happen here is you literally see the world divide into two internets, two payment systems, two currency systems. It could get quite extreme. And it, you know, I think it's more likely than I want to think it is. One of the reasons the global players are afraid of the Trump Make America Great agenda is they understand that this is where it could go. And so, frankly, the big global reset that the fear porn folks have been pushing may in fact turn out to be a big global digital and financial divorce. It's important, if you're interested in the coronavirus, that you read John Rappaport. He continues to write about the dangers of believing the numbers, how numbers can be misused, how you can blame a virus for, in fact, what is something like a chemical reaction combined with 5G. He's seen a lot of dirty tricks around this stuff, and he knows a lot about the players who play these games and the sort of health agencies globally. It's a good skeptical voice to have. One of our very many astute subscribers posted a link to the new mandate put out by China about vaccines in 2019, and I must say it looks remarkably, as one of my old partners used to say, coinky-dinky. It's another remarkable coincidence. So you might want to take a look at that link. And then, of course, 5G has just been rolled out in Wuhan. And I would note that 5G and cell towers, I believe, can be weaponized in combination with a variety of different biological warfare agents, whether it's intentional or not. Now, very big question in my mind, is the coronavirus race specific? It looks like it very possibly might be. We've had no deaths outside of Asia yet. And so my suspicion is that it's either Han targeted or Asian targeted, or if not targeted, biased. So somebody with that DNA pattern is much more likely to get the disease. And it's just going to take a lot more time to tell. I think we'll probably know by the end of the month if we haven't seen any deaths in Europe or North America. We certainly, all the deaths again have been in Asia so far. I'm betting that U.S. intelligence and military have race-based biowarfare weapons, and the Chinese may not. If this is intentional, there are two possibilities. One is they figure the Chinese don't have the equivalent to sort of target back at European populations or food supplies, or they were in a corner and had no choice. And I think a very big question is, what is China's response going to be if it is intentional? Okay, so what would the goal be? So if the coronavirus is intentional biowarfare, so as I said, I think 95% chance it is biological warfare, 80% intentional. So if that 80% is true, what are the goals? The first goal would be to prevent a dollar spiral down. I think Mr. Global wants a managed transition of the currency systems. Whether it's Mr. Global or G7, they want it under G7 control. I think part of that is inspiring corporations to reorient supply lines back to the NAFTA trade zone, if you will, so Mexico, US, Canada, North America. Here's the reality. If you look at how they use China for the last 20 years, they use China to keep the false prosperity going. It's the Walmart game. But now with robotics, they don't need to export pollution. They can do a lot of the manufacturing without pollution. They also are going to figure with a control grid that they don't need the benefit of labor deflation to keep things going. So you don't need China to ship out your pollution, and you don't need China anymore to play the labor deflation game. They figure the control grid, the climate change op, they can do it without China. And I think that may be an indication of why they did the NAFTA agreement or the USMCA agreement during the middle of the impeachment. So clearly they want to stop the Huawei FG 5G juggernaut. It's part of putting China back in the box and do it in a way that weakens Russia or sort of forces Russia to come back and play with the European side. Cutting the price of oil this much right now is going to be very, very painful for Russia. And it may be one of the reasons that Putin did his reorganization now to batten down the hatches for this. Another goal is to assert the Western ownership and control of the Silk Road Initiative, the BRI, or slow it down and stop it. If you can't control, then just stop it. If you look at the patterns of the epidemics targeting the livestock, so the African swine fever and one of the chicken diseases, we're seeing that not just in China and Asia, but in Africa and the Middle East. And we had big headlines on locusts in Iran and Pakistan now. So clearly, the fight over control of the food supply and the digital control grid, and that includes in space, I think is it says to me they're trying to replace oil to support the dollar for now, or whatever the digital systems are. But the petrodollar days are clearly numbered. How far down can or will they take China? Is this an effort to get them back into a unipolar model or simply return them to poverty? My guess is the conclusion from the trade negotiations is that G7 thinks it's in a win-lose position with China. So in theory, this could get much, much worse. It's hard to say what China's response will be. If G7 is prepared to play absolute hardball, they have the power to put China back in the box without nuclear weapons, but it's going to be very ugly and it's going to take a long time. And it reminds me of the scene in The Gladiator when the general says, "Unleash hell." And it's a reminder to read the Hermann Greff interview in TASS. He was Hero of the Week last week, and you can link to it from the commentary we put up for that. But it certainly reads like he and the Russians are preparing for the unleashing of hell. I think the trade talks persuaded the West that they needed to do whatever they had to do to assert Western hegemony on the global currency issue as well as the Silk Road. So remember, Mnuchin is skull and bones. He was in the room playing a leading role, so available to give input to whoever is making these decisions. But clearly, neither side trusts the other to keep their word. And based on historical experience, they have very sound reasons. And that's why I think part of this is the cybersecurity war brings it all to a head. There was an interesting article in the Washington Post this week. I linked to the Zero Hedge version of it about a Swiss company which had been owned and controlled by German and US intelligence. Had used it for many, many years to basically compromise encryption systems and communication systems for up to 120 countries. When you see that kind of backdoor Trojan horse style operation, you know, it can make you pretty paranoid about who's getting access to your systems. I've talked a lot about the backdoor access to different systems in the United States. And what is coming out, of course, is that none of these systems have integrity. And so now you see the players fighting about who's going to control the system and who's going to have access. Boris Johnson reshuffled his cabinet this week, of course, with Brexit happening at the end of January. It looked like the defense minister, Ben Wallace, was going to go. He had gotten caught up in the Huawei fight. Britain has indicated that it's open to using Huawei, and I think that fight between the Americans and the Brits are ongoing. But Wallace had said that essentially you couldn't trust the Americans, that the UK was and the Commonwealth had to make their own way without Americans. And of course, the very big signal that that is so, I think, is the UK going in with the ECB and the Swiss National Bank and the BIS to work on crypto plans without the Fed. Anyway, but keep watching the UK and the Commonwealth to see what they do on 5G. That's going to be a very important, interesting question. So who's behind this? If this is intentional biowarfare, who's behind it? So let me give you some very high octane speculation as to probably who's in the room. I would say the key players are the Harvard Corporation. You know, it's the big pools of long-term capital. Harvard is clearly, you know, one of the, if not the leading player on the money. If you look at their infrastructure, their leads on nanotechnology and AI, it's one of the reasons I'm very interested in what's happening with Professor Charles Lieber. The Department of Justice arrested him a week and a half ago. He is a leader in nanotechnology. If you look at his website for Lieber Research, he is doing very significant research with nanotechnology that can pierce the cell membrane and create brain to machine interface. When you look at what he's working on, you think, oh my God. And that's why another reason I say the vaccine is going to be a lot more dangerous than the virus. But my guess is that you've got a leading group of representatives of foundations and university endowment basically looking at the long-term investment positions in the West. And this is a perfect example why somebody like Harvard Corporation would take their investment organization dark. And Farrell and I have talked about that, particularly last year. It happened really 2 years ago, but they, you could see their whole reengineering of their investment operation. You know, it kind of looked like what Putin did with the Russian government. They're batting down their hatches on their way to real war. Gates is a major player here. Gates is not only the sort of most powerful player in the IT world in the United States, if not in the entire world, but he's also a leader in vaccines. And it wouldn't surprise me if the reason that he got the DoD contract for the JEDI and the satellite contract that Microsoft picked up was because he's got the bandwidth to basically put together a cloud and satellite operation that can integrate with nanotechnology and vaccines to basically hook up the global population into an integrated digital system. It's all part of the space control vision. Lockheed is clearly a player. Anything that has to do with satellites and big information systems in government connects to Lockheed. They spun off their IT division to Leidos because I think they had massive liabilities on the missing money. So maybe Leidos is a player in here too. You have significant London and Commonwealth interests involved. And then the Israeli networks, who are trying to position themselves with backdoor into the U.S. systems. There's a lot of rumors about their backdoor into the Microsoft systems. They're clearly trying to position themselves as a leader in cybersecurity globally. And so it wouldn't surprise me that part of the squeeze on the impeachment was to get Trump to go along with giving them the kind of access that they need through Microsoft and through the US IT system. So it'll be very interesting to see how NSA feels about all of this. It's very frightening to think who and what might have a backdoor, including as a result of the impeachment squeeze, because you saw the Israeli networks very much on both sides of that squeeze. I talked a lot about it. I talked more about it last week. If you look at the stock chart in the money market commentary, I show the last year trading for Microsoft versus Lockheed versus the S&P, and it's very, very clear. Also the NASDAQ. You can see winners here are tech with the NASDAQ. The satellite, Lockheed is the largest U.S. defense contractor, including satellites, and then Microsoft. It's very, you know, it's funny, without thinking about what's going on here covertly, it's hard to explain Microsoft's performance once you start understanding, you know, that the way they won JEDI, despite not having Amazon's qualifications, was their qualifications on vaccination were superb compared to Amazon. As I said, the courts put a stay on the JEDI work, which is surprising because the first task order has gotten out. Usually they halt these things before the task order goes out, but it will show you a major fight. And it looks to me like there may be a major, major fight going on between the Rothschild and Rockefeller factions here. But I think, unfortunately, with Netanyahu back, having another miracle saved his political career for now, my concern is the Israeli networks are very dark and very present, and for all I know, they've got a backdoor to everything. We have some recent executive branch actions and orders which dovetail. Obviously, the Trump Space Force and the efforts, very significant efforts, Trump and Pompeo are putting into stopping adoption of Huawei on 5G. But you also see a big executive order on GPS systems and Trump demanding sort of a centralized integrated cybersecurity software and protection on anything having to do with GPS. We also see directives coming out of the federal government for cybersecurity, essentially on all defense government contracts, and it looks to be very centralized into Homeland Security. And, you know, it's almost like another Y2K round of centralizing control of all information systems. The pressure to force people to use cybersecurity software is extensive, and it's happening in regulated industries as well as just government contracts. And it wouldn't surprise me if this is to ensure an integrated, seamless, not just integration, but backdoor for the right players. And so you have to be, you know, I keep coming back to the fact that digital systems have no integrity. And I think if that's true today, within 2 years, once all this rolls out, it's going to be even more true. And again, I think, you know, whatever is going on, I think part of this is the impeachment squeeze, and you've got some real stinkers at the bottom of it. Again, your danger is the vaccine or the related control systems. Don't begin to worry about the coronavirus. Begin to worry about control systems, vaccines, and low-grade biological warfare. As I said, we've been dealing with it for 20 years. It's not new. Everybody's struggling with it. So what does that mean? It means unbelievably strong immune system. Anything you can do to improve your immune system, anything you can do to detox, very, very important. And so my focus, my real concern is that mandated vaccines will compromise or destroy your immune system. I mean, that's certainly what they've been doing for the last 20 or 30 years. The other concern is transportation systems that run on electricity that will control your movements or control them unless you've been properly chipped or vaccinated. So, you know, all those Christians who scream about the mark of the beast, it's a real concern. The National Health Federation put out an article about why the vaccine is likely more dangerous than the virus. I put it up in News Trends and Stories and tweeted it out. We now have quite a race of different pharmaceutical companies to make vaccines. Names listed are Johnson & Johnson, Gilead Sciences, Regeneron, GlaxoSmithKline, and Moderna, I think is how you pronounce their name, are all working on vaccines and drugs to fight the coronavirus. Market impact. Ambrose Pritchard came out with a piece that said this could be the black swan that takes the markets down immediately. Goldman comes out and says, oh, little impact on the stock market, as I said. And the question, of course, is how could this be? Well, it could be because central banks are committed to printing money to protect the insiders and also deal with whatever the fixed income market implications are of defaulting a lot of oil and gas debt in the high yield markets. Interesting question will be how you deal with defaults on dollar debt from China. Let's see what China does. It certainly may diminish their reserves. An interesting story. I had posted Francis Boyle's interview as to why he thought this was biowarfare last week, and I mentioned it, and I decided I would buy his book on biowarfare and terrorism. I tried, it took 8 times to buy it, so I tried numerous websites and sources, and all turned out not to have anything or not immediately available. And finally, I did what I've been trying not to do, which is I went to Amazon. Amazon had 3 used copies for sale. Each time I bought one, I got a confirming invoice. Then the next day I got a shipping announcement that the book had shipped. And then that day or the day following, I got an announcement that they had canceled the sale and refunded my money. I wasn't getting the book. So I finally found it on a Dutch website and had a colleague here buy it for me. So I will get the book, but it shows you the level of the control grid. Ultimately, amazing. Anyway, if there's anything you keep an eye on, other than fighting vaccine mandates, keep an eye on that new currency group at the BIS. Again, it's the adults in the room getting together without the United States. And I think if this is intentional biowarfare coming to the West, people have decided they can't wait for the United States to get its act together. They have to proceed without us. Okay, that's the top story. Let's look at some of the other top stories. The U.S. Senate voted Wednesday to advance a war powers resolution, which would limit the president's ability to use military action against Iran without approval from Congress. I just want to give a huge shout out and bravo. That group included Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, you know I'm a big Rand Paul fan, Lamar Alexander from Tennessee. It's interesting, if you look at all the states that are sending the kids to war, it included a bunch of them. But there is no doubt that the war power shift out of Congress into the president since 9/11 has not been good. It needs to be reversed, so I'm glad that they did this. There was an article in the FT this week that Switzerland had put a moratorium on new 5G towers. It made it sound more important than it is, but there's no doubt that people in Switzerland are making a big stink about the health problems. And I just want to give a shout out to the Swiss people for doing that. Keep doing that. We have a couple of great friends and allies and subscribers in Switzerland who are part of that. And we just thank you for all your efforts. There was an article this week on the Mormon Church's $100 billion wealth fund. It was almost a distraction from Harvard. You wonder what it had to do with the coronavirus. If you look at the Mormon Church investment interests, they've been in on the black budget deal from the beginning. They financed Las Vegas, very critical money behind the Las Vegas, which, as you know, I thought was created as a money laundering operation for Area 51 and the big black budget. But it wouldn't surprise me if they're in on this deal. And of course, Mitt Romney's vote against the president on the impeachment is a very interesting sort of schism between the Mormons and the current administration. President Duterte of the Philippines has notified the U.S. of cancellation of a bilateral security pact. And I find that that's a very significant development. And I wonder if Duterte also thinks this is biowarfare and that it is Asian or race biased. Wouldn't surprise me. Because of the role of the Philippines and our bases there in the control of the South China Sea, that's a very big announcement. It'll be interesting to see what the U.S. does in response. Modi's party in India got crushed in the regional elections. I want to thank you to the Indian people for pushback. If you look at what Modi is doing to the Muslim citizens of India and Kashmir and elsewhere in India, it's pretty outrageous. It all started after Netanyahu went to India. You almost wonder if he's briefing Modi on how, you know, on how to basically force all the Muslims out and convert them from citizens to non-citizens, etc. All the different sort of 26-step process, dirty tricks. And it's interesting because if you look at sort of the negativity that Netanyahu has brought in the United States and in India and around the world, you almost wonder, there's a pushback coming, and unfortunately it's been delayed because clearly the squeeze on the impeachment has been very successful for this group. But the reality is the American people did not vote for Netanyahu for president, but that's, you know, it almost looks like that's what they're getting. And I think the pushback when it comes is going to be very, very significant. And if I were the Israeli people, I'd be worried. The Finland Pension Fund has invested $600 million in BlackRock ESG ETF. You definitely want to read the wrap up on the weaponization of ESG. Can ESG turn the red button green? I suspect one of the reasons this is happening is because BlackRock's gotten such a lousy retail response on their ESG efforts, so they need some kind of big pension fund money to make it go and to make it look fashionable. As I said, you might want to check out that Fullerton report on the USMCA deal, the new NAFTA, so to speak. Question, is there a backdoor or the TPP and Paris Agreement provisions, and are we now going into a period of open borders? It wouldn't surprise me if that is all true. The McClatchy newspaper chain has filed for bankruptcy. It underscores the grim reality facing the local news industry, and we've had more than 2,000 newspapers cease production in the last 15 years. And if you look at just the hacking we've dealt with for the last 2 years, or all the headwinds we've dealt with for the last 20 years, there's no doubt about it that telling the truth is a very low-margin business. They make it so. News reports coming out that Britain has just done a new arrangement to regulate online content. They're calling it the end of the free press. I haven't had time to look at the details. But it wouldn't surprise me if coming into the next round of elections, there is extreme desire by the people running things to control. And it's terrible because if you look at who hacked the 2016 election, it looks to me like we just gave them backdoor access to our entire U.S. IT system. So why are you worried about Russia? That's not the problem. Final headline this week, in the last 10 years, more vets committed suicide, 70,000 than were killed in Vietnam. I'm very concerned that veterans are not just the target of, or not just experiencing all the different things they experience from serving in the military, but are the target of electronic harassment that they don't realize that is encouraging them to commit suicide or do things that cause their health to deteriorate. So if you're a vet or you have vets in your family, you really need to think about what you can do to help them make their immune system strong, get them detoxed, and be careful about the electronic systems they use. Jeff Bezos, who just won his stay on the Jedi contract, let's see where that goes. He's also batting down the hatches. Reports that he's selling another $4 billion, buying a big house for all cash in Los Angeles, but I think he's trying to squirrel away enough money for himself personally and enough money for Blue Origin, his space effort. And it looks to me very similar to many other players. They're batting down the hatches. Now, let me tell you what's not a top story. What's not a top story is the Trump distraction entertainment. We see a huge amount of distracting material designed to keep you from looking at the rollout of the control system. If you look at what Trump is really up to, he's cratered or rolled back on most of his promises. And if you look at what he's doing with FASB 56 and the control system, The deep state has never been stronger, more in control, or they're pulling away by a mile. So Trump is great for the deep state, and one of the things he's really great about is keeping people distracted from watching what's really going on. So we have tweet storms that are quite incredible. We had Blackfine come out after the New Hampshire primary, which Bernie Sanders run, and he tweeted, so these are all the, I call it the billionaire tweet storm. If Dems go on to nominate Sanders, the Russians will have to reconsider who to work for to best screw up the US. Sanders is just as polarizing as Trump, and he'll ruin our economy and doesn't care about our military. If I'm Russian, I go with Sanders this time around. So I tweeted back, if there is anyone who knows how to screw the US and global economy, it is certainly the chairman of the GSO, GS&Co. Squid that engineered the 2008 financial crisis and no doubt played a leadership role in $21 trillion missing from the US government. You almost wonder, what hubris does this guy have that he doesn't understand that most people will just be stunned that he says Sanders can screw the US economy? I mean, you wonder where these guys get their brain from. But also announced this week in Financial Times, the richest 1% of Americans now account for more than half the value of equities by US households, according to Goldman Sachs. Thank you, Lloyd Blankfein. And it had nothing to do with performance, merit, anything else, I assure you. Anybody who's studied the US credit, as far as I know, knows it has more to do with printing paper and lawlessness. So David Rosenberg, I told you this before, tweeted out, let's get this straight. We just got the year-to-date fiscal numbers for the US on track for $1 trillion deficits or 5% of GDP and double-digit federal spending that is spiraling upwards as a share of GDP. And it's Bernie they call a socialist. We're all socialists now. Now, the sort of the Trump distraction, Trump has been very busy getting a lot of headlines. He's fired 70 holdovers from the National Security Council. He's fired several people who testified on the impeachment. Roger Stone had been prosecuted by the Department of Justice. The prosecutors put in a sentencing memo that was very, there's no doubt it was very tough. And so the president tweeted out that it was unacceptable, and the word started to circulate that the president was going to give a pardon to Roger Stone and even Paul Manafort. Barr had been planning on, or it looks like he'd been planning on changing the sentencing memo. When he did, you had two prosecutors resign and then another two prosecutors on the case resign. So the prosecutors on the case resigned from the Department of Justice, which is unprecedented. There was implications that Barr had been influenced by Trump's tweets. Anyway, Barr ended up saying in an ABC interview that's in the News Trends and Stories, and also in my tweet feed, Twitter feed, I'm not going to be bullied or influenced by anybody, whether it's Congress, newspaper editorial boards, or the president, Barr says. This is very serious because, first of all, if you look at who and what Roger Stone is, it is you're watching American conservatives being tricked into supporting the worst parts of the swamp. And you certainly see this with the Christian evangelicals. They are supporting the absolute worst people and absolute worst parts of the swamp. And it's going to deliver a death blow to institutionalized Christianity in America if they don't sort of pull out of the dive. Anyway, the Chuck Schumer came out. He tweeted out on the possible pardon of Roger Stone, they'll probably recommend no jail time, the Presidential Medal of Honor, a freedom, and a show on Fox News. Now, here's the thing. If Trump loses Barr, he's in real trouble. Don't think that the Democrats won't try impeachment again. They will. We see a Pew Research on Americans' assumptions about Russian influence on the campaigns, and it looks to me like the American people have bought it. And it's incredible because when you realize what foreign interests are hacking and manipulating not just our elections, but all our information systems, the thought that we think that the problem is the Russians is pretty scary. But it looks to me like constant propaganda seems to be working, and we've seen the Shrinkometer do this before, they're doing it again. Our hero, speaking of people who can understand the truth and won't back down, is Del Bigtree, was the producer who made Vaxxed. They have a second Vax too that I'm dying to see, but I haven't. It's going around the country, but it's not available online yet. And he continues to be courageous and very effective in the face of huge headwinds. I know the headwinds we deal with at Soleri, so I can't imagine what he's dealing with, and I think he's doing an absolutely terrific job. If you look at the effort to stop mandates in New Jersey, it just shows you these things can be stopped. So whether it's the Children's Health Defense or Del Bigtree or the Vax team, I think it's absolutely credible that we support these people because we're seeing tremendous pushback on vaccines. I think one of the reasons that you may be seeing what's happening with the coronavirus is because the vaccine summit in Switzerland made very clear to one and all that the pushback is strong, not just from the parents, but from the doctors and healthcare providers, and it's worked its way into the program directors and countries around the world are saying, wait a minute, you know, this stuff isn't safe, and we don't have safety studies, and we can't keep pushing this. So, you know, and of course, there's nothing like shriek-a-meter pandemic fears to sort of rev people into, well, maybe we should take the vaccine. You need people like Bigtree pushing back. It's very, very important. And so all the, whether it's Kennedy or Bigtree or John Rappaport, the people who are pushing back on this are doing all of us a great service. They are real heroes. We need to support them. Blast from the past, as I said, the chicken heart that ate up New York City. If you want to see how they're playing fears on pandemics and the virus that's going to get you, listen to the chicken heart that ate up New York City. It's the same playbook. It's a very old playbook. Our movie this week is a fascinating documentary called The Russian Five. It's the story of the Detroit hockey team that was really at the bottom of the barrel, and they decided that they would recruit five Russian immigrants when the wall was coming down. It's a very interesting story to see these folks from Detroit figure out, okay, we're just going to find a way to get these guys. And anyway, so they get these five hockey players from Russia. They bring them in, integrate them into the team, and they lead the team to two Stanley Cup champions. It's quite remarkable, and it's a human interest story, and it's a story of a sort of a town that's on their backside who does whatever they have to do to get out. It's kind of a story of people getting together and really making an enormous difference and accomplishing some very amazing things. Anyway, it's a fascinating documentary, and you know, for one brief moment you can be part of a world where people from different cultures and nations get together to help each other to be more excellent. We can do it. Our interview tonight is with the Saker. He's back for his quarterly Emerging Multipolar World Discussions. We talk about the chilling impact of the assassination, U.S. assassination of the Iranian General Soleimani, and the broader implications of those assassination policies. I think the Russians and Chinese are taking very seriously the Americans' implication that they feel free to assassinate any global leader anywhere, anytime, any place, sort of how Pompeo's words were interpreted. And I think it has had a very chilling effect. We talk about Ukraine. I think to me the most important part of the interview is our discussion of the changes in the Russian government and the extent to which Russia is clearly sort of batting down the hatches. And of course, we bemoan the extraordinary and baffling capitulation of the U.S. administration to the Israeli interests. I don't think Saker realizes, and I didn't realize until I started looking at some of the new executive orders on cybersecurity, the extent to which the entire U.S. digital systems have been compromised by the Israeli interests. Anyway, the important message to me is batten down the hatches. The world is going to war. It may be a covert war, it may be cyber warfare, it may be economic warfare, but it's war, and it's going to have an impact on all of us. So once again, I say guard your heart. Okay, ask Catherine. Somebody put up a link to an article at Mercola on Google's social credit systems and how the scary Chinese system is being implemented in the West. It includes a great video from TrueStream, and I've linked to it and tweeted it out. Hi, Catherine. Hope you're well. Really love your Deep State Tactics wrap up so far. I'm curious if you've ever watched the movie Control Factor based on psychotronic weapons mind control, and if you know any other movies as blatant as this one about this technology. And then you sent the link. I have seen it. I haven't used it on the Salieri Report because I'm not quite sure what to make of it. They Live is the only one that comes close. If you're interested in this sort of vein, you definitely want to check out my book reviews for Mark Rich's books, as well as Dr. John Hall. They're in the library, and I describe them in Control 101. You definitely want to go through Control 101, but I would say that's the strongest mind control movie I've ever watched, and I've never been sure what to make of it, but the link will be in the notes if you're interested in watching it. Catherine, Jordan Peterson's Year of Absolute Hell, Professor Forced to Retreat from Public Life Because of Addiction. Several people sent this link in and I've posted it. I did not realize. I knew he had been dealing with a difficult period when his wife got sick, but now he apparently was taking depression medication and then had to go to Russia literally to get away from Western medical systems to get off of it. And in my experience, that stuff is a terrible addiction to get. It's very difficult to get off of it. It's one of the reasons to avoid it at all costs. And it doesn't surprise me that he had to go outside of the Western medical systems to get help. He is someone, in my opinion, very much worth praying for and lifting up. And to go through a period where you get that much public attention, it's a very intense process to go up that S curve. Dear Catherine, I'd like to know if you think it's worth joining Facebook to buy meat, eggs, and produce from local farmers. A few years ago, I moved to a small town in a rural area. The town is too small to support a farmer's market, but there's a local group on Facebook where one can order food directly from the producers for pickup once or twice a month at a local parking lot. This is unfortunately all organized on Facebook. I was a member of Facebook from very early on when it appeared to respect privacy more than its competitors. About 10 years ago, I returned home from a trip to find that the website had been automatically tagging photos of me and making them publicly available without my direct consent. I've avoided the company and subsidiaries as much as possible ever since, even though this has led to great inconvenience at times. I've now been considering joining Facebook just to have contact with this local group. I don't feel comfortable contacting the sellers outside of the platform before we've established a relationship, as they don't post other contact information. What is your opinion? I'm leaning towards opening a very limited profile, albeit with a dedicated phone number and email address. This one is very tough. It's very tough. I would get a special email just for this purpose, and I would open it with that special email, use it only to establish the relationship, and then see if there's a way you can do it without, or persuade them to shift to another more secure mechanism, and then cancel and get off of it. But I think it's very important. To me, the priority is to develop the relationships you need with the local food producers, but then if there's any way on an ongoing basis you can do it without Facebook, you need to do it. This one is very interesting. On the Greg Hunter show, you mentioned food. Do not eat anything unless it has been prepared by you. My wife ate a salad and contracted, I don't know how to pronounce this, Helicobacter pylori. It's in the notes. For 4 years, she carried it with much pain and suffering. Terrible weight loss and stress on her body was horrible. Many doctors were involved in the 4 years, no results. Our regular doctor could not hit on it, but his PA did. PA had had it and knew all about it. Guess what she had eaten? The cure for it was horrible. Druggist called it a cocktail. Wife was out of it for a week, but she is still with us. Wife just now is back to eating like she should, putting on weight. And then you added a link on what is the easiest way to clean leafy vegetables from possible pesticides, and then some greenhouse information. Yep, I agree with you. I'm getting more and more careful. It's one of the reasons I'm glad to be in Europe, because generally I find the food system much safer here. And in the United States, I'm getting very, very careful. As I said, when I drive around, I have to carry days of food supplies with me. Catherine, dark journalist Daniel List is doubling down on his Kerry Romney Hail Mary pass ticket as a last-ditch effort to stop Trump. How realistic does that look from where you sit? This was in Subscriber Input. I wrote back, I don't know anything about this. I suspect it wouldn't surprise me if Romney and Kerry are in discussions on how to stop Trump. One of the things they've got to stop is the possibility that Hillary Clinton's going to try and be the compromise Democratic candidate. That could just destroy the whatever is left of the U.S. establishment reputation. That's going to destroy it. I think people like Kerry and Romney are getting a lot of pushback from the G7 elites around the world, and Trump's done a lot of unnecessary sort of harming of feelings. I mean, his style is not diplomatic. Anyway, so it wouldn't surprise me if there are parts of the American establishment that would like to try and turn around the U.S. establishment reputation, but there's nothing they can do unless they can build a sufficient coalition. Romney's not strong enough to bring along much power on the Republican side, so they're going to need a much bigger combination of money and power to make it go. So it wouldn't surprise me if they're in discussion. That's where the rumor's coming from, and they're trying to build the coalitions they need to make a real go of it. Next question. Trump's budget proposal is interesting. Social Security, Medicare untouched to keep the elders complacent. That's not what I've been reading. I'm seeing, I'm getting reports that if you look at the dollars, there are deep cuts in the money available for Medicare and Social Security. So they may not cut the programs or may not cut, announce a cut to the benefits. They just slow down the payments. Number two, rip out the safety net and double down on Homeland Security. Three, keep military spending the same but channel a 12% increase into NASA Space Force. Increase federal employee pay, gut the environment and education. This national neoliberalism looks like we're shifting into a Chinese model. Looks like they're giving up on the bottom 60 to 80%. This was inevitable in 1998 when they started doing the $21 trillion. So, and then, of course, the bailouts. So now the trapdoor is slammed shut. And so now the time is to sort of stick it back to the general population who wouldn't let them craft a financial, you know, a financial solution in the 90s. So this is very ugly, but it's not new. This was baked into the cake once you moved the $21 trillion out and did the financial coup. These things happen when you turn the aircraft carrier, not when it finally arrives. So to me, it just looks like the financial coup consolidation. Catherine, what is the agenda behind forcing U.S. Army soldiers to take a revised Army physical fitness test? I heard one soldier recently say, the older folks won't be able to pass, so we'll have to retire them out, and then the Army will lose a lot of institutional knowledge. Actually, that could easily be one of the goals. You're seeing a real push to get rid of experienced knowledge or mature knowledge all around the world. That made me think maybe the Pentagon wants to get rid of its institutional knowledge. I know that sounds weird, but I can think of no other explanation for why they would make soldiers in their 40s and 50s have to take a test where they have to lift 140 pounds and so forth. Actually, you know, when I moved to Washington, I was bench pressing 140 pounds, so that shouldn't be so hard to do. Also, this bizarre test is gender neutral. This is ridiculous. What do you think is behind this? I don't know. I'd need to know a lot more to really know. It is true that robotics and super soldiers are coming, and it wouldn't surprise me if a draft is coming. Wilkerson had said he thought a draft was coming after the 2016 election, but we could easily be seeing a draft. And if you look at the control grid being put in place, it's easier to do than you think. Then you continue, they likely want a clean house and lower expenses, attempting to bring in cheaper, more technology-adapted recruits. I'm not sure, but I think it's important to understand what could be happening with super soldiers. One of the films I recommended in Control 101, and I think in the Deep State series, was the La Femme Nikita, the first TV show, where Nikita's a blonde. There was a later one, and it's got a lot in there about cloning people or sort of breeding up kids in the military installations. And it's one of the questions I have. I always thought that ISIS had some prototyping of super soldiers, or I suspected that's a possibility, but you might want to educate yourself about those possibilities. Okay, a lot to digest this week, but that's it. Coming up next week, we're back deeply into your personal financial matters. a great interview with Marie McDonald, Your Mortgage Avoids Servicing Risks. Last year, we had Marie on to talk about risks in the origination of a mortgage and how to make sure when you're originating a mortgage, you get it right. This one is on managing your existing mortgage, and the amount of servicing risks are skyrocketing. And Marie does a great job with many materials and case studies. So this is one you're going to want to listen to if you're worried about the servicing risks on your mortgage, or if you're planning on originating a mortgage, you need to know what can go on in the back end before you do. So this is one you're going to want to listen to, and then you're going to read and study the materials. It's an invaluable, invaluable collection. Then on the following week, Chuck Morone comes back to talk about his Strong Towns book, Taking Responsibility with Strong Towns, and then a great one in the first week of March with Bridget Mouche on the Wellness Series. We also have a special report on vaccine mandates with Mary Holland, the General Counsel of Children's Health Defense. It's very important for you to stop state mandates, so you definitely want to make time to listen to that one. I think it'll help you take action now. So, until next week with Marie McDonald talking about your mortgage, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. There are now so many floating around the planet that they can't be counted on both hands. So instead, remember, if you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.